hands, everybody, if you got what it takes. Cause I'm Curtis Blow, and I want you to know that these are the breaks. Breaks in a bus, breaks on the car, breaks to make you a superstar, breaks to win and breaks to lose. If these are your breaks, rock your shoes.
Going on, everybody. And boy John here with Break the Press. We back. You know, don't call it a comeback. That's what I named this episode, because we're not coming back. Well, I'm not coming back. It's just me today. We've been pretty busy with life, as you see. My boy Demo started grad school, so he's doing his thing. Chris White, he got about 7 jobs now. So, you know, everybody's been kind of busy, but I've been too anxious to jump into it. You know, we've been trying to get the schedule and everything. So, we've been trying to get everything right, but you know, life been going good. You know, I've been watching my Bears pretty much wet to bed every week. Pretty much gave away our season. It's been pretty bad. But everything else been great. You know, I've been seeing everything. Been ready to get back into it. But so, yeah, I'm here today by myself. I'm going to jump into it. First thing I want to get into is really Colin Kaepernick. Now, a lot of people, I've been seeing a lot of different opinions about Colin Kaepernick here and there. I really been ready to get my take on it, because what happened, it was a really strange situation. First off, we all knew that the workout wasn't going to be fair. That was the first thing I knew as soon as I saw it, because it's just, they don't want you to be in the NFL. They just don't want him to be there. That was evident by the 3 years. Nobody got him a job. They pretty much blackballed him. We all know that. But the workout just popped up out of nowhere, and apparently it was as a favor to Jay-Z because of all the flack that he took pretty much for, you know, started working with the NFL and going their route. So at that point, you already kind of knew that the workout wasn't going to be the best of sorts. It's like one of those things where somebody begging for your food, you know, you don't want to give it to them. You finally go, huh, here, take some. Here, take a little bit. You give them the piece of chicken that you didn't want, or, you know, the wing or something there, you know, that was a little messed up. You kind of get on what they can get. And that's kind of where I was at with the Colin Kaepernick thing. It's kind of like, you know, that they was going to do something with the workout. They told you they couldn't film it. His media team couldn't film any of it. So it was pretty much going to be closed off when nobody going to get anything. I felt like before that anyway, that we was going to find some kind of footage. But nonetheless, they was closed off from media access. They didn't give them the receivers that he had been practicing with, so he was going to get just some new guys out of the blue. You know, it was pretty short notice. We all, you know, we saw what was happening there. And then he popped up a couple of hours before saying he ain't showing up, had his own workout off to the side. Now, a couple of things. I feel like, and I may be in the minority with this, I feel like he should have went to the workout at least. Because he is at this point of his career where you don't get to dictate terms. You have been looking for a workout. You could have had your own workout at any point in time. He could have had his workout. And so the NFL finally give you one. I think you should show up. Now, with that being said, even though we knew from the jump that it wasn't going to be the most fair workout, I still feel like he should have had a second workout. Because everybody saw what was happening to him. We saw that the contract wasn't right, the agreement, you know, like I said, about the receivers and being closed out to the media. He should have came up, should have did the workout, and should have said, hey, or before or after, he should have announced and said, hey, y'all see what they trying to do to me. I'm having my own workout before it, or like I said, after it, at this location, same high school. Everybody pull up and take a look and see what I'm really going to do. Bring the media just like he did. Go to both workouts, do them both. So whenever the NFL try to spin it, because allegedly one of the problems they had with it not being open to the media, like I said, they wanted full transparency. They thought that the media was going, where the NFL was going to chop up the video, make him look like he was rusty, which is going to be, you know, probably kind of easy to do since he didn't have the receivers that he wanted, the time and everything was going to be off. So they'll chop it up, have, you know, bad look, call out there and can put out the information, say he was rusty, quote unquote, stuff like that. So I get that part. So you go out there, you do your workout, you know, for the NFL, do what they got to do and have your own workout. That's what I think. Because at this point now, he had his workout. He skipped the NFL workout. They gave them an out to say, you know what, well, we tried to give him a chance, but he didn't want to take it. So, I mean, obviously that's a lie, but that's the out that they're going to take. And then now, of course, all the 32 teams, they're going to use it as an out as well because reportedly no team is interested in him now. And that was one of the other reasons I think that he should have went to the actual workout, because there was no question that he can throw the football. Nobody has been able to question Colin Kaepernick's talent, even when he was in the league. I know back when he was, you know, right on the end of their 49ers run, I know they weren't kind of looking too good, but I mean, still, there's nobody down there. He is at least one of the top 64 people that's throwing the football. He should be on the NFL roster. Now, I think the NFL and the owners, and pretty much everybody that showed up, they were looking for more of, can Colin follow the rules and be into our structure more than talent? Because, like I said, we know he can throw the football, but is this going to be the guy that we got to come in and we need to have extra attention on him? Is we going to be worried looking over our shoulder? Is he going to try to do the next stunt here and there? And he kind of proved exactly what they was worried about. Like I said, they thought they were showing up. From all accounts, everybody said they thought they were showing up to a legitimate workout. And Colin Kaepernick pulls this, and at this point, like I said, it seems like it was already planned. So that's why I said he should have went to both workouts. He was already planning on having that one at the high school anyway. Go to both, have the media transparency, make the NFL happy, and then put the NFL on the spot. NFL, at their point, if they would have had two workouts, NFL would have still had to look back and say, wow, we really can't say this man is rusty, and we really can't say anything about, you know, anything about his talent because it's on full display. And he came out and did that workout. So, I mean, we got to sit here. We got to look at our own self in the mirror. Like, why are we, at this point, not letting this man in? And so, pretty much getting back to what I was saying about him at the high school, at the old workout, the fact that you had that one away from your legitimate workout with the NFL, that kind of proves that, like I said, they can't really trust you as to come in and be just another guy. Colin Kaepernick, it's one of those things that your distraction, I wouldn't say distraction, I say baggage. Your baggage will have to outweigh your production on the field. Case in point, like Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown, at this point, as talented as he is, has got to the point where his baggage is outweighed by the talent that he could put on the field. It was to the point that the Patriots, the best run organization in the league, was able to take him on after everything that happened. They were still ready. You know what? This guy can still help us, even though he's been accused of this, that, and the other. He done wrecked two teams. They still was able, you know what? We still going to let him come onto our team because we feel like even though he got that going, he's still more valuable. He can overcome that. Not too many guys in the league are talented enough to overcome something like that, like Antonio Brown. Same thing with Colin Kaepernick. I feel like he has the talent to overcome it, but it's just the fact that it's too much extra stuff coming with it. Same thing like with Tim Tebow back in the day. It was, you signed Tim Tebow on your team, no matter what he was doing. He was the most talked about backup in years. It was literally people coming. I think Stephen A. even said it on First Take. They was arguing about Tim Tebow. He wasn't even starting the game. He wasn't even playing that day. And so, I mean, it's just what can you put on the field versus what are you going to be bringing to us off the field? And I think that kind of fell back on Colin. Now, at this point, like I said, no team is interested, so what do you do now? You not get another workout, and we know you can play. So, I mean, like I said, that was never in question. We know you can throw the football better than a lot of people. So, what do you do now? Shout out to Big. He had brought up, he said, if you really want to play football, get paid for it, go to the CFL. I don't think that's a bad idea. And, I mean, CFL, XFL, find one of those leagues. You go there and you dominate. He already in his 30s. At that point, you can show what you can do against professional athletes. And then, like I said, try to put the NFL in another spot. I mean, it's a long shot. Like you said, you probably is it. We probably won't see Colin Kaepernick in another uniform, which is tragic. And then, of course, the NFL is going to make it seem like, oh, we gave him a chance. We tried to help him. But you know how stuff go. And then they're going to tell the narrative of history. And then the 30 for 30, hopefully it come out and we see exactly what went on. But we all know. I'm still rooting for Colin Kaepernick. Hopefully he get back in the league. But I just think this setback was something that probably just he won't be able to come back from. Let me switch over to this. I named this episode, Don't Call It a Comeback. Because, I mean, like I said, we ain't coming back. We been here. And somebody came back in the NBA, Carmelo Anthony. He finally got him a contract, signed with the Portland Trail Blazers. And I really think this is really good for the Blazers. Last year, of course, they got swept out of the Western Conference Finals. And obviously outmatched by their Golden State team. But it got me to thinking, does Carmelo Anthony put them over the hump to where they were already? Because, I mean, like I said, they're in the Western Conference Finals, got swept. And you pretty much are turning that same team in terms of, I guess, your top scores and things like that. And I think it was a really good addition with Hassan Whiteside. I don't know why a lot of people kind of overlooking it, but I think Dame, his competitive spirit, CJ McCollum, pretty much, like I said, like a sidekick to Dame. Really, I mean, a 1A or 1B type of thing. They both can get buckets. And then Hassan Whiteside, all he got to do is play defense, block some shots here and there. Can Melo be the one put them over their hump for that? And I'm not sure. I don't have the answer to that question because I don't know if Carmelo can come in and really do his thing like old Melo. He had a game the other day. He had a good game. I think he had like 25 points against the Bulls. So, I mean, it's going to be there in spurts. I think the best role for him to be for the Blazers, pretty much like a Lou Williams type of thing with the Clippers. You come in, come off the bench, you know, do a little scoring here and there. If you get hot at the end of the game, we're going to keep you in, you know, type of thing. You know, we're going to keep you in on the fourth quarter if you hot. If not, you know, you're going to sit on the bench and watch. I think that'll be something that we could be fun to see. But in terms of long-term championship aspirations, I don't know. I'm not sure. I hope Melo get one, but I was hoping he went to the Lakers because it's going to be hard getting out of the West, particularly even getting into a championship. Because, I mean, in the West, yeah, last year you had to go through Golden State, but now got to get through the Lakers, got to get through the Clippers, got to get through the Rockets, the Jazz. Man, it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. If anybody on the team that I trust, it's Damian Lillard, of course, because Dame is big time. But can he be big time enough, and can Melo be big time enough to get them over the hump? I don't know. That was just something I've been thinking about over and over. I didn't really have too much on that one, but congratulations, Melo. I'm glad you're back. We ain't going to call it a comeback. We're just going to let you finish out your career. Hopefully, you get you a ring. But before I switch over to the Bears, we're going to go take a little quick break. I'm going to, you know, come back. I'm going to talk about my boys, see what we've been talking about. Short break. I'm back. I want to jump in with the Bears. The Bears have been an overwhelming disappointment for me. It's almost becoming embarrassing. Like, it was, I started off this season screaming championship aspirations, screaming, this is our year. We was a year ahead last year. We learned from that mistake against the Eagles. We're going to come back hard this year. Another year in the system for Trubisky. Another year coaching for Nagy. The defense got another year playing together. It all sounded great. And then this year started and nothing. Like, offense can't even move the ball. Offense so bad that the defense is getting affected by it. Literally, teams are going out there and saying, why would I risk throwing the ball down the field, maybe getting a Khalil sack, Mac, or a Khalil Mack sack, strip sack. He can get the ball, maybe turn it over, get a touchdown, or I throw the ball up and get tipped and get a pick. Why would I even risk it? Why not just hey, dump off pass. If it goes, you know, for 10 yards, we get a first down. Hey, great. If not, we'll punt it. Give it back to Trubisky, and we'll get the ball back in four plays. And it goes so well for other teams, it's ridiculous. Remember the Saints? I can't remember the details of when it exactly happened in the game. But I know they really much they stalled out in the drive with like 12 minutes, something like 50 something seconds left in like a quarter. I can't remember what quarter it was. It was something like that. And punted the ball away. Got the ball back before the clock hit 12 minutes. I'm talking about we literally went out there and had three incompletions on terrible, terrible play calling, terrible passings, and got the ball back to that team in less than a minute. I said, wow, this is absolutely ridiculous. In that Saints game, the Saints were literally they didn't even think about us running. They didn't even think about it. We play action, and the whole entire Saints team just took off. They just went back. They knew it was a pass. I don't know if anybody seen that Stephen A. Smith meme where he just sitting there looking. That's exactly what they did. He play action. Yeah, we know y'all not running. So let's go ahead and get a duck. Go and throw up a duck, Trubisky, and then let's see what happened. It's been pretty awful, especially on offense. And Matt Nagy came out and said he's not giving a play call. He said, quote, he doesn't feel like it's the reason that we're having these struggles. If he felt like it was, then he'll give it up. I really want to ask him, what do you really think the play? What do you think the problem is? Because it's got to be the play call. I've watched this team more times than I really wanted to, because like I said, we've been just a dumpster fire. And it seems like every game we run about 8 run plays out the entire game. About 5 of them are fake jet sweeps. So, I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't even know why we continue to even do that. We flying up in the I formation one game and ran for like 160 yards. So, obviously, he doesn't want to run. He doesn't even want to have success running the football. He wants to throw the ball 50 times with Trubisky, which is just counterintuitive. I used to say there aren't any quarterbacks in the league that can throw it 50 times, but there's a few. They can probably throw it 50 times, maybe once or twice a game, get you out of a hole. But nobody is throwing the ball 40, 50 times a game like Trubisky is, and we're having any success. These last two games, we should have lost. We should have lost to the Giants, and we should have lost to the Lions, the sorry Lions. The Lions lost to us because they didn't have Matthew Stafford, and Jeff Driscoll turned the ball over on his own side of the field, which put us in prime position. We literally got into their red zone on a turnover and almost had to give a field goal to ourselves. We still couldn't move the ball. If they would have punted the ball like everybody else has been doing, we'd have lost their game. Same thing happened with the Giants. Danny Jones ended up getting strip sacked, turned the ball over. We're on the 2-yard line. That sparked us. We still only get a 3-point win. So, like I said, if they play conservative and actually march down the field and make us march down the field, teams are going to beat us. It's actually getting pretty ridiculous. So I think Matt Nagy should give up play call. As a head coach, you have way too many responsibilities to kind of be locked in on just the actual offense. I get it's your offense. You wanted to run how you wanted to run, but that's why you have coordinators and people in the room that you trust. We got Steve Sarkisian. Trust him to actually run the plays for you. He has the time. He's the offensive coordinator. That's what he does. Have him put in the offense. Of course, you're going to be in the room giving your suggestions. Like I said, sometimes you're going to call a player to. You're not going to go away. But just delegate that kind of responsibility to somebody else, because it's just the fact that you don't have any kind of continuity with the offense. It just shows. We literally, it looks like we just run plays at random. We're not trying to set up anything. Like I said, we run those jet sweeps all game. We fake the option with Trubisky. I think he pulled it and ran and kept it himself maybe once, maybe twice, maybe in all the games we've played. So, I mean, you just, after just running plays, just try to see what we can do. And we just need to get a guy in there. And in terms of Trubisky, let me get with that. I actually booed Trubisky when we first drafted him, because it's a pretty big tradition with me and my friends. We every draft night, we go to Buffalo Wild Wings, you know, have a good time, watch the draft. And so we was at this particular draft, and the Bears, they're pretty known. I don't know if anybody ever follows the Bears or, you know, see exactly what they do on draft night. They pretty much get some guy that you never heard of from a team and try to get a steal. That's pretty much that's what we do. I don't know why we do that. I don't know who's at in our scouting department. We never take the guy that you think, you know what, just take that guy. It's a no-brainer. Take the I won't say the popular guy, but the consensus pick. Just take the guy that everybody think you're going to take. Nope, never. Never, never. And the same thing happened this draft. Well, not this draft, the draft with Trubisky. So we sitting there, we waiting. We had third pick overall. And we just sitting there, I'm thinking, you know what, no matter what happens, you know, I know we're going to take a quarterback. I'm hoping we get Deshaun Watson. I watched Deshaun Watson pretty much a lot in college because he was all over TV beating up on Alabama. The guy was absolutely electric. And so I'm thinking that's the guy. I had watched a lot of college football. I think I saw Trubisky in one game. I think I tuned into the game because I think he was playing against Deshaun Watson. I think that was the reason I looked at the game, because I think it was an ACC game, and that was the thing as well. How do you scout an ACC quarterback and not pick Deshaun Watson? You pick Trubisky. But we traded up, got Trubisky, and we all see what happened. I booed it. I was upset that draft night because I was like, who is this? Who is this guy that we drafting? But nonetheless, I put my arms around him because, you know, you got to have support. You can't really thrive in any situation if nobody's supporting you. So I, you know, put my arms around him. Hopefully we do some things with him. And, you know, last year ended pretty decent. I thought, you know, it was something to build on. Coming into this year, it's just falling apart for him. He doesn't look comfortable in the pocket. He looks nervous. And I just think the pressure of the entire city of Chicago's playoff hopes and championship hopes being on him just kind of brought him down. We came into the season, I think I said it on this show, this season, if Trubisky can get it together, be decent, we can win the Super Bowl. And that was really true. He's been a lot less than decent, say the best of him. He's been a lot less than decent. The guy been, I don't want to say trash because he's still my quarterback, but man, it's been pretty bad. And everybody's been saying, maybe we should go into a different direction with quarterbacks. Some people was actually putting us with Colin Kaepernick. And some people putting us with Cam. Some people saying we need to get Jalen Hurts. Let me go to Cam for a second. I think a healthy Cam Newton, a new situation for him, getting out of Carolina, you know, getting away from all of that, starting fresh, and coming to the Bears, I actually be great for both teams. We get Cam for what, a year or two, see how it works out at least. I think with that, if Cam's fully healthy, we can make a real run at the Super Bowl. This year is lost, so at this point we're not going to make the playoffs because we're not catching Green Bay. That's not even a thought. And then even get into a wild card, we got to beat out either the Seahawks. The Seahawks got like 9 wins now, 9 or 8 wins. Or either if they tie with the 49ers or beat out the 49ers for their division, the 49ers got like 10 wins. So we're not going to catch either one of them. And then the other wild card spot with the Vikings. The Vikings like 3 games ahead of us. So some people got to fall out, just have terrible years for us to even get into the playoffs. And I don't even want us to make it to the playoffs. We don't deserve to make it to the playoffs. We suck this year. And so next year we get Cam. If Cam can come in and be, I think his best days are behind him. I think that MVP season is the best we ever going to get of Cam. But if it's okay. Like I said, if Trubisky was just okay, we would have been a great team this year, even in the stacked NFC. And so if Cam can come in next year, and let's say if you can tell me that I can get Cam and he'll have what's in the NFC championship game pretty much with a chance to win, I'll take it. Of course I'll take it, because like I said, what are we doing this year? But I think with a Cam Newton, I think that's the kind of a ceiling that we have right now. Our ceiling right now, with Trubisky at the quarterback, our ceiling right now is probably getting blown out in the wild card game. So is that what we really aspiring to be as a team? We went all in on defense. Got Khalil Mack. We got Eddie Jackson. We got a plethora of players over there. We finally got some good linebackers. Got Roquan Smith. Yeah, Danny Trevathan. Got a good. We got it all on defense. Offense, we got some pieces there. I see what people were saying about we don't really have a guy. I think Allen Robinson can flash that here and time in and time out here and there. But I think that getting a guy in there that can actually deliver the football to these dynamic playmakers, I think it's something that we should look into. Trubisky, I love him, but, man, he just ain't getting it done. If you don't finish out strong this year, we need to get Cam, or we need to start evaluating what are we really trying to do as a franchise. Are we trying to start over? Are we trying to win a championship? What are we really trying to do? Because this really ain't it. Let me get off my barriers for a second. Pretty much, like I said, I'm here today. I ain't got too much. I just want to keep you guys informed. You know, we still making our rounds. We're going to come back strong pretty much. I just want to get into a final thought of the day. Memphis and James Wiseman and all of that fiasco that's going on. Pretty much everybody heard about it. Penny Hardaway back in the day helped out James Wiseman family, help him move and whatnot. Now the NCAA found out about it, suspended him. You know, they went about through it. Finally, he got their suspension. Let's not say lifted, but he got, you know, about 12 games and an $11,500 fine. Which is, I think, ridiculous to even find any a college student was fined $11,500. I'm not in college. I can't pay $11,000 fine. When I was in college, there's no way I could have even. There's no way I could even seen $11,000. What do they even think $11,000 going to come from this man? Do they not think that the same person that probably helped this family move probably going to give it to him? Or is he supposed to have $11,000? Because you're not supposed to get paid per the NCAA, as they say. So how did they even come up with finding this man any kind of money at all, which is absolutely ridiculous, NCAA on their part? At this point, the NCAA should just look at themselves and see exactly what is their agenda as well. Because, like I said, $11,000, put it into perspective how much that was. Oh, we all saw when Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph got the fight on the field. And then players cleared the bench, you know, things like that. And all those players got fined. All of the people outside of the main, you know, Rudolph, Marquise Pouncey, or the other lineman, I can't remember his name, Myles Garrett, and I think the other guy from the Browns, Larry, whatever his name was, I can't remember his name either, the one that pushed Rudolph. Out of all of those, got the other guys that ran onto the field, they was fined $3,500 for fighting in a primetime NFL game. $3,500. Professional athletes that are making money. $3,500. And James Wiseman got $11,500. So the NCAA needs to look and see, like I said, what is their agenda? Are they really, truly trying to help out students in terms of trying to better themselves, or are they trying to be an authority? Because I don't think there was anything wrong with the fact that Penny Hardaway moved a young man that needed help into a better position and to get himself a better position in life. I mean, moved a young man to Memphis to try to help him and his family get into a better situation. And of course, I mean, the young man going to go in and help and going to pay him back and go join this basketball program when he become the coach in Memphis. So, I mean, it just, you know, help me, I help you type of thing. And of course, they go help each other. Wiseman probably going to end up going number one overall in the NBA draft next year. So, I mean, it's just one of those things. NCAA, I've always criticized them for being way too ticky-tacky. You've heard some of the horror stories. I've told some of them right here. It was at one point, players couldn't even get cream cheese on their bagel without getting an NCAA violation. Cream cheese. I can bring you onto campus. I can give you a bagel. But once I put cream cheese on it, it's a fine. That's ridiculous. And it's that the way that they go about their practices, it kind of makes themselves like the enemy, which they are. You run yourself. You literally find a student, but we're not. This is supposed to be an amateur sport. You find a student. The NCAA is run like a professional league. If you took the names off the teams if you didn't call them University of Alabama, University of Oregon, Auburn University, you know, University of Memphis, you didn't call them that. You just put some you put some players in some uniforms on the teams, and you just put them on the TV. It wouldn't tell the difference between the NBA game and an NCAA game, or, you know, NFL game, and thing like that. It's fans in the stadiums. They're selling tickets. People have on their jerseys. It's in prime time on a network. It's absolutely ridiculous that these guys can conduct themselves like a professional league and then not pay players. And then find the players that they not paying. Like, it's mind-blowing to me. The NCAA, at this point, they're making more enemies than they are friends. And players are going to start realizing that I don't need the NCAA. The NCAA needs me. And then when they do that, the NCAA is going to finally get their act together. Because, like I said, next year's draft, James Wiseman knew he was going number one before he even stepped into University of Memphis. Well, let's not say number one. At least, you know, top of the draft. He knew he was going to top of the draft no matter what happened at University of Memphis. LaMelo Ball, we haven't heard so much about him. He's not even playing NCAA. Top three picks projected. R.J. Hampton, not even playing in the NCAA. Supposed to be a top three projected pick as well. The NCAA at some point going to realize we need these players to actually drive our actual brand and things like that. Because at some point, people are not going to care about tuning in to the NCAA tournament to see Duke and see their coach and, you know, to see Penny Hardaway. We want to see some actual talent on the actual court and things like that. And it goes with football, too. Football is a little harder because there is no substitute to going to the college ranks of football to get to the NFL. There's really no other substitute. You really can't. There's no overseas or let me go play in the XFL for a while, the CFL, stuff like that. You can't do that. Well, you can, but it's just not the best route. And so with that, I know the football side of it is kind of locked up, but basketball has always brought in a lot of money. And I think that once the players start taking control of themselves, there's a lot of people doing some good things in the league. I want to say, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was P.J. Tucker that I saw a couple days ago. I may have been wrong, but I know it's an NBA player currently. He's making the league pretty much like a stepping stone to the NBA. Instead of going to the NCAA, instead of going to college and playing there for a year, you kind of go basically semi-pro, kind of go in the middle, you know, work out for a year with some guys that's really good, you know, hone in your game and then go get drafted. Because, I mean, there is no rule in the NBA draft that says, you know, you got to go here and there. You just have to be 1 year removed from graduation. And so with that, players, like I said, get the opportunity to go overseas and things like that. The G League coming up. So I think that the NCAA going to end up start relaxing themselves on the basketball side of things. Football got a long way to go because there is a lot of obstacles. You have to go to a college because you got to be at least 3 years removed from your graduation and stuff like that. I mean, I understand it's a different game. You know, you got to be a little bigger, you know, a little stronger, a little more leaning to actually go to the NFL because it's a little rougher game. So the NCAA got that unlocked. But with this basketball stuff, man, these fines, somebody got to start sticking up for these players. I know that some people, they're going to end up getting, they say they can't crowdsource the money, GoFundMe for the suspension money, but don't worry. Man, Penny Hardaway going to write the check. He's going to get somebody to write the check for him. So it's going to end up working out in the end. And in terms of Memphis, I mean, I'm glad to see that Memphis basketball in itself is back, being my hometown. I'm glad to see that Penny got a good vibe going. And then the Grizzlies, Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson, they ain't been doing too much winning, you know, but people got their eyes on them. They looking real good, real young. So I'm hoping they can actually bring some light back to Memphis because it was at one point, I ain't gonna say even at one point, people still, nobody want to go to Memphis. Nobody want to go to Memphis Grizzlies games. People go to Grizzlies games to see other people. I think every Grizzlies game I'd have ever been to, I think either Kobe was playing, LeBron was playing, or somebody like that. Nobody goes to Grizzlies games to see. But I think John Morant and Jaren Jackson, they actually turned it around. I think if I was actually living in Memphis, I wouldn't mind going to see a game. Because, like I said, they putting their real hype around the city. And I'm really, really happy to see that. But I'm going to end it on that note. I think that was a good, you know, good discussion. I got some good things out. I'm glad everybody took a listen to it. Next week, we should be all back together. We're working on, you know, getting everybody on the same schedule. Like I said, my boy's working hard behind the scene. So we should be able to get that going. And so, yeah, another episode of Break the Press. You know, don't call it a comeback. You can find us on all social medias at _BreakThePress. You can find me, myself, at Space Age John on pretty much everything. You know, Instagram, Twitter, all that as well. You can find Chris White. And he's on Instagram as well. He be on there sometimes. But you can find him and Demo on there as well. Like I said, another episode down. I appreciate you guys for listening. And come back and see us again next week.